Hey, it's Scott, and guess what? You're about to hear an ad. And that's both good and bad. It's good because ads are what make it possible for me to keep bringing you these episodes. And it's bad because, well, maybe you don't like listening to ads, and I get that. And the good news is, you don't have to. When you sign up to support the show, you get every single episode without any ads. Plus, you get all the bonus episodes. Yeah, did you know there are actually bonus episodes? And you can try it all for free just to see what it's like. If you're on an iPhone, just go to the What Was That Like podcast and at the top, click on Try Free and you're in. On Android, just go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus and try it out completely free. Once you've had the ad-free experience, you'll see why hundreds of other listeners are already doing it. But for now, here's another ad and then on with today's episode.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Hey, do you have trouble sleeping? Then maybe you should check out the Sleepy Podcast. It's a show where I read old books in the public domain to help you get to sleep. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of classic stories like A Tale of Two Cities, Pride and Prejudice, Winnie the Pooh. Stories that are great for adults and kids alike. For years now, Sleepy has helped millions of people catch some much-needed Z's, start their next day off fresh, and discover old books that they didn't know they loved. So, whether you have a tough time snoozing, or you just like a good bedtime story, fluff up the cool side of your pillow and tune into Sleepy. Unless you're driving, then please don't listen to Sleepy. Find Sleepy on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes each week. Sweet dreams.
What Was That Like? Contains adult language and content and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to What Was That Like? I'm your host, Scott Johnson. This is a show where we talk to regular people, people just like you or just like me, who have found themselves in an extremely unusual situation. We'll hear their stories and get inside their head because we all want to know, what was that like? More information about each episode at whatwasthatlike.com. Here we go. It gets pretty cold in Mason City, Iowa in the winter. Just ask Gael, he lives there. Gael is 18 years old. One day last December, on a particularly freezing day, he was on his way to a class. Just a routine day, driving along, and he's approaching a bridge that goes over a big river. Except he doesn't make it to the bridge. Instead, he finds himself in the middle of the river, and the water is rising in the car. And somehow, during the crash, his phone got lost. But a young lady named Siri was still listening. A warning about this episode. If you use an iPhone, during the story, Gael will use that lady's name. You know, the lady in the iPhone whose name starts with S. And he tells her to call the police. So be aware of this so that your phone doesn't hear that instruction and make a phone call to your local police department. And after today's story, we'll get a sneak preview of Raw Audio 3, as well as some of the reviews that have come in recently. And now, let's hear what happened to Gael. Do you remember how cold it was that day?
It was really cold. I think we were on the negatives, like -1. But yeah, it was freezing temperatures.
That is pretty cold.
Yeah.
So when you were driving this day, where were you headed?
I was heading towards Nyack, my college campus, where I was studying for welding.
And was this a road that you traveled regularly?
Yes.
Okay, so you were obviously very familiar with it. Can you just take us through, you're driving down the road, can you take us through what happened?
All right, well, it usually takes me like 30 minutes to get to school, so I have to wake up early. But anyways, I take exit 90 California, if I remember correctly. And I always take that exit to head to school. So I head towards that exit and I turn right. As I'm going forward, there's a bridge there for a river that crosses there. And I think it was called, I forgot the name.
The Winnebago?
Yes, Winnebago River. So anyway, as I'm driving towards it, I was listening to my music and just driving. And as I'm listening to my music, my Jeep starts to move a little bit onto the right side. So I try to control it, but then from there I start to lose control and my whole Jeep starts shaking. And there was a vehicle on my left side that was coming back or on my side, and I didn't want to hit it. So I had to turn all the way right. And from there I couldn't see anything. I saw everything blurry and I was just scared and confused. And while all that was happening, my music was playing out loud. It was weird. It was like I was in a movie, like loud music playing in the background while everything is going crazy. All I felt was bumps and just everything was rough. And then everything stops once I hit something, and it was a really hard hit on my head on the wheel. And once I stopped and tried to process everything, I heard like water sounds and my blurred vision went away, and I turned around and I was in the river and I saw the water coming in my vehicle. And so the first thing I did is turn down the windows because I thought it was going to sink. And so I was so scared about that.
So were you just kind of like the car was barely in the river? How wide is this river?
Pretty wide. I was in the middle. In the river.
And so you couldn't just step out and go on to land. You were surrounded by water.
Yes, correct. And I turn around and I fell from a high hill. So I was thinking if I wouldn't have gone fast, I would probably turned over because it was pretty high from where I fell. But because I went fast, the Jeep didn't turn around.
So you're saying that the when you left the road, mm-hmm. there's like a steep embankment that goes down to the river? That's what you're talking about as far as like a hill?
Yeah, it was tall. And if I would have went slow, I would have turned over. Because apparently that happened to another guy that crashed in there.
It seems like this would be a place for a guardrail. But there's nothing there to block you from going from the road right over this embankment, huh? Mm-hmm. So you went in the river, but the car was at least still upright.
Yes. So it was pretty terrifying, and the water started to get in. So and I couldn't find my phone, and I was wearing glasses at the time, so I can't see very well without my glasses.
Do you know how to swim?
Yes.
And how quickly was the water coming into the car?
Pretty quick. And also because the current was really fast.
So the whole river was moving pretty quickly. Was the car moving down the river, or is it kind of in one spot?
Just one spot, thankfully.
What was keeping it in that same spot? Do you know? Like it was on a rock or something?
I think so. And also because of the weight of the Jeep, because it had some tools in the back.
Okay. What made you realize that you needed to roll the windows down so quickly? I mean, have you heard that like emergency training in the past or something?
Well, to be honest, because I've seen a lot of movies where people fall in the river, but they don't do anything. So my first thought that came to mind, well, if that ever happens to me, all I do is just turn down the windows and make sure I remove my seatbelt.
All right. So now you're thinking, okay, I need to get some help because you're stuck there. You can't do anything, right?
Yeah.
And you had your phone, but you didn't know where it was?
I couldn't find my phone. So the next thing I did is said, "Hey Siri, call 911. And so Siri replied back saying, "Calling emergency services in 3 seconds. And so I heard Siri, so I heard on my left side. So I checked with my hand and I found my phone. And from there, I called the cops.
So the phone had fortunately not gotten wet yet, or not was not underwater.
Nope.
And that's when you dialed 911 and were able to reach someone.
911, what is the address of your emergency?
I don't know, but I crashed into a river and I don't know what to do.
Okay, what river did you crash into?
It's the one that's close to Nyack. I don't know.
Nyack? Okay. And are you on what road?
I'm not sure, but I slipped in ice and I fell into the river and I don't know.
So are you out of your car?
No, I'm literally inside the river and I'm inside my car.
Okay. I am going to try to map you out, so just stay on the phone with me. What kind of car do you have?
It's a Jeep.
A Jeep. Okay. And do you have water inside the Jeep, or are you sitting on top of the river?
I'm inside the river, but the water's getting in.
Okay. What is your name?
My name is Gael Salcedo.
What is it? What's your first name?
Gael.
How do you spell that?
Gael.
And what's your last name?
Salcedo, Salcedo.
Okay. And your cell phone number that you're using right now, does that end in?
Yes.
Okay. I think I got you mapped out. So just be patient with me, and then that way I can have help there. The sooner the better, huh? Let's see. Looks like you were traveling on Thrush Avenue. Which direction were you heading in?
I was heading to Nyack, but...
Nyack? Okay, that makes sense. So I'm going to say you're Thrush Avenue. Are you hurt at all?
No, but I am stuck. I'm in the middle of the river and water's getting in.
Yes. Yes. Okay, I'm sending the fire department out there. So the phone's going to be quiet for just a second, Gail. So hold on, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay, Gail. You still there?
Yes.
Okay, I do have help on the way. How deep is it in your Jeep?
The water's halfway in my Jeep.
Okay. Now, have you undone your seatbelt yet?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have electric locks or manual?
Well, I have the whole window open.
Your window is down?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just asking in case you need to get out of the vehicle. Sometimes with the water, I doubt it's this strong because of the ice flow in there, but sometimes that water will take your Jeep and float it. So if it happens and you need to get out, it's good to have that seatbelt undone and the water, the window down, okay? Is the water reaching the window at all?
No.
No? Okay. So the water that's coming in is seeping in underneath into your vehicle then is what's happening, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're able to keep your phone out of the water while you're talking to me?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Hello?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay. I don't know. I was just driving normally, and all of a sudden I lost control, and I ran into the river.
Okay.
And the first thing I did is turn on the windows, just in case.
Very good, yes. So were you driving to Nyack, you said?
Yes.
So you're heading north then?
Yes, I was heading to Nyack for my welding classes.
Okay. So the deputy said he thinks he can see your car, so he's still getting situated with his vehicle. And you don't think you're injured at all?
No.
Okay. Did your airbags deploy?
Yes, there's a bunch of airbags all around the windows, except for the...
Okay. Where you,
yeah.
Okay. Hold on just a second here. Is it just you?
Yes, it's just me. It's my mom's car.
Just him.
Fire department, he was heading northbound on Thresh when he went in. It looks like he's mapping out on the east side of the road, and an officer or deputy has located him.
Yes, I'm right here. No, but I am stuck.
Okay, since he's yelling at you, I'm going to hang up with you, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
How did you realize someone was there? Could you just see on land that the emergency personnel had shown up?
I found out someone was there because he yelled if someone was there, and I replied, yes, I'm here. It was like a police officer.
So what did they do?
Well, they told me to calm down and not panic. And so I try my best not to. And I was also thinking if my Jeep starts moving, I will get out of my passenger window and go on top of the Jeep in case the Jeep starts moving from the current. And then from there, 5 minutes later, that's when the firefighters came. And they were trying to find out how they were going to get me out. And I just saw them through the window communicating on the bridge. Until they were putting on a suit for this one guy, a water suit, and they started like to get a rope and put it on the guy. And that's when like a group of guys came down my north side from a hill to get me.
I don't know how many other people do this, but I like to plan my weekly meals. Maybe I'm just weird, but I like quick and easy. That's just one of the benefits you can get with Cook Unity. Go to cookunity.com/what or enter code what before checkout to get 50% off your first week. One of the dishes I recently had was the Green Goddess Falafel Bowl. Oh, I loved it. The falafel was seasoned perfectly, and I love how crispy it is on the outside, but really moist on the inside. It's a signature dish of Enat Admoni. She's known around the world as a chef. You've probably seen her on TV. And her dishes are made right here in Florida, so I'm supporting local business, and I love that. And the convenience of Cook Unity is crazy. I mean, I've got podcast episodes to produce. I don't have time for cooking. These meals are delivered fully cooked. So when it's time to eat, I pick a meal based on my mood for that day. I heat it for a few minutes and enjoy. The menus are updated every week, so there's always something new to try. You can choose from over 350 meals based on your dietary needs or taste preferences, or go wild and have Cook Unity pick for you, because every meal is just amazing.
Make the best meal plan ever with the convenience, chef-level quality, and endless variety of Cook Unity. Go to cookunity.com/what or enter code WHAT before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code WHAT. Or going to cookunity.com/what.
Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Or what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Gold. And we're the host of the Underworld Podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it, and we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld Podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. Do you have trouble sleeping? Then maybe you should check out the Sleepy Podcast. It's a show where I read old books in the public domain to help you get to sleep. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of classic stories like A Tale of Two Cities, Pride and Prejudice, Winnie the Pooh. Stories that are great for adults and kids alike. For years now, Sleepy has helped millions of people catch some much-needed Z's, start their next day off fresh, and discover old books that they didn't know they loved. So, whether you have a tough time snoozing or you just like a good bedtime story, fluff up the cool side of your pillow and tune into Sleepy. Unless you're driving, then please don't listen to Sleepy. Find Sleepy on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes each week. Sweet dreams.
And the guy with the rope, with the bodysuit, was the one that came in into the river. And the guys on top of the bridge were poling, making sure, you know, the current wouldn't take him. And that's when he came to my door and told me that to calm down and that this is the way it's going to be. I think that's what he said. But he just told me that there is no other way. And I put on my life vest. And he told me that to hold on really tight. And so I did. And from there, the Jeep was already filled with water. So he had to open the door on my right side, because on my passenger seat door, the current wouldn't let me open it. So I had to go out on the other side.
So you mean the driver's door was blocked? So you had to exit the passenger side.
Yes. He opened the door. So from there, all the rest of the water came in and touched my legs. And it was really, really cold. Like from there, I felt my toes were starting to I was starting not to feel them. And then I had to put in both of my legs into the water, and the water reached up to my waist, because I'm pretty tall. And so from there, I hold on tight on the guy. I think I had my arms around him or on the rope. I think it was the rope. And he was behind me. And from there, the guys on the bridge were pulling us to make sure we get there. And I was using all of my strength that I could to get there. And I started not to feel my fingers anymore while I was walking through the water. And I fell a couple of times and slipped on the rocks because it was hard and the current just kept coming and coming. So there was a lot of force. So I fell a couple of times, and the firefighter behind me helped me up, making sure I wouldn't, you know, fall that much. And then since I couldn't feel my fingers anymore, I couldn't use my hands to hold onto the rope. So I had to use my arms. My whole arms and wrapped around the rope, making sure I don't fall. And to the point I fell, and the cold water I started to feel my body all numb. I couldn't feel it that much anymore. So I used all of my strength that I could to get to the edge. And that's when finally we got closer. I was relieved, and the guy pushed me to land. And then finally the guys that were there helped us get out. And from there, they took me to the ambulance, took off the rope and everything. And two guys helped me get to the ambulance because I couldn't walk, because I couldn't feel my legs nor my hands.
Were you conscious that whole time, even in the ambulance?
Yes.
Is that the coldest you've ever been?
Yes, it was insane. I never experienced that cold in my life.
Well, I can imagine if it was around zero, the air temperature, then the water temperature. So it has to be a pretty fast moving river if it's that cold, but it's not frozen over.
Yes.
Do you ever see that river frozen over at all?
No, because the current was too fast.
And you mentioned that during part of this, while you were waiting for the fire department to get there, you took some video?
Yes. After I called the police, I called my mom, telling her that I fell into a river and that I don't know if I'm going to make it and that I love her so much. So my mom was so confused, saying, wait, what do you mean? what are you talking about? And I just said, I love you. And if I'm okay, I'll call you again. And then so I had to hang up on her. And then from there, I had to go to class. So I send one of my friends, Alyssa, from welding class, and send her like a quick snap, like just really sit. And I texted and said, tell Ryan, which is my teacher. And I told her to tell him that I was not going to make it. So I Snapchatted a bit of video. I was shaking, so my camera was shaking, and I just sent it to her. And then from there, I put my phone away and just look around and thinking, you know, what I was going to do next. Like, if the Jeep starts moving, I'll get out through the window. And I was calming myself down because I was thinking, if I keep panicking, I'm not going to be able to focus. So since I saw that the Jeep wasn't moving, I calmed myself down more.
Did you talk to your mom later about what her reaction was when she got that call?
Yeah, she told me that she started crying because I'm the only child from my mom. And my mom is she's my grandmother, my mom right now. But she adopted me when my mother died.
Oh, I see.
So I was the only child. So she was crying because I'm the only one my mom gave birth to, her only son. And she was crying a lot until later in the ambulance when I got my phone. I called her and said, hey, mom, I'm okay. Please stop crying. I'm in the ambulance. I'm okay. I'm heading towards the hospital in Mason City. And all I heard was her crying. Like, she couldn't speak to me. But all I had to say, and I sent her a message saying that I'm okay.
I can imagine how she must have been so terrified from the time of that first call till the time she heard from you again, not knowing. Did she even know where you were?
Mm-mm. No, she didn't know.
So she's just waiting for another phone call that whole time.
Yes.
So she must have been, I mean, first time probably crying out of fear, but second time hearing from you that you're okay, crying out of happiness, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you see her for the first time after this?
It was at the hospital.
Okay. So they took you to the hospital. Were you injured at all?
No, I just had a really bad headache and some of my body really hurt, but it was going away. It was just the cold that really got me.
You were probably in shock.
Yes.
So did you stay overnight in the hospital, or how did that turn out?
Yeah, I just stayed for a few hours. So there were just, the doctors were making sure that everything was okay, checking if I had, you know, broken bones or anything, and everything was fine. So they let me go home.
Can you talk about when your mom came to the hospital?
Yeah, when she came in, she was calmed down and she held my hand and hugged me and kissed my forehead and thanking God that I was okay. And from there, she wasn't crying, but her eyes were red. She was, you know, more calmed because, you know, I called her, told her that I was okay. And she was just really happy and relieved that I was okay. And she didn't care about the Jeep or anything.
Wasn't the car was hers, right?
Yes.
When you were in the car before you had gotten rescued, were you completely thinking about how am I going to survive this? Or were you partially thinking, wow, my mom's car's messed up?
I was thinking both.
So what happened to the car? Did they pull it out?
Yes, it took them like a couple days to take it out because we had to find a person to take it out. But a lot of people didn't have the equipment to take it out. So it took some time until finally they did. And, well, the front was really messed up, so we couldn't use it or fix it anymore. And when they took it out, half of the Jeep was just filled with frozen ice.
So where is it now?
In the junkyard.
If that's the worst casualty, I think you got off pretty good.
Yeah, and also this might sound crazy, but before all this happened, just a few weeks before I fell in the river, I had a dream where I was driving and I fell into just in water and I drowned. And it was weird. Because once after I crashed into the river, I was at the hospital, I was thinking about that. And I'm like, okay, that was weird. But in my dream, I died. But in real life, I didn't.
So you think it was like a premonition?
I don't know.
Or do you believe in stuff like that?
I don't believe in stuff like that, but I do think about it. It's just weird.
Have you driven that same road again since then?
Yes, but now I drive like really, really slow when it's, you know, winter.
It must be when you go past that point, you must always remember what happened that day.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. Just thinking about like how I could have died or what could have happened. But here I am, alive.
Raw Audio Episode 3 is now live. It's only one 911 call, but it's one you will never forget. A woman in Oklahoma is home one night. Her husband's at work, so she's alone. After midnight, a strange man is at her door, yelling and trying to break in.
He's at the garage. Is it attached to your house?
Nope, he's at the back patio door again.
I can hear him banging again.
He's walking across back and forth on the porch. He looks to be an older man. I don't want to kill him.
This raw audio episode is now live, so you can hear the complete 911 call and what happened. The raw audio episodes are bonus episodes available to patrons at the $5 a month level. You get the past episodes and all the future episodes, and you can sign up for this at whatwasthatlike.com/support. And it's been a little while since I read some of the reviews that have come in. If you're new to the show, you probably noticed that I never ask for reviews. A lot of podcasters think that the ratings and reviews in Apple Podcasts help their show get found more in the search results, but that's a common misconception. So you won't hear me asking for reviews here, but they happen anyway, and I do appreciate it when people go there and say something nice about the show, and even when they criticize the show, as one did recently. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and read that one. This was in reference to episode 52, which was called These Three People Died. It highlighted three stories of people of color who had done nothing wrong but were killed in their own home by police officers. In response to that episode, John NV51 wrote, "Concerning your June 2020 show, I listen to these shows to relax and maybe learn a thing or two. I don't tune in to be preached to or make me feel guilty for being Caucasian. You missed your mark." And really, I have to say, I didn't create that episode to preach or make anyone feel guilty. I just felt like it was an opportunity to raise awareness of the issue. And I love seeing how there is actually some change taking place. It feels like progress. And I did get a lot of really positive feedback for that episode, such as MK Flores, who said, "We must all know what happens in cases like these. Thank you for putting it out there in such raw form." And here are some other reviews that have come in. EdsGirl62 wrote a simple two-word review, "I'm hooked." KM98654 wrote, "I have many podcasts I listen to on a regular basis, and this podcast is one of my all-time favorites. Interesting and engaging stories, great questions asked by a host. He's a skillful interviewer as well as a really good listener. He often asks the questions I'm thinking. I'm so glad I found this podcast. I highly recommend it." Then we have Meowie69, who wrote, "I love this podcast. Scott is a very genuine host and the stories are super interesting." And Midnight X Corpse wrote this review titled, "I Can't Get Enough. I absolutely love this show and all of its aspects. I listen to this podcast when I'm at work. I work as a housekeeper at a hospital, so it's a lot of work to get done, and I swear this podcast helps me get through my days better. I love how Scott lets everyone tell their stories, never interrupts, always does so much research, and cares so much for the people he talks to. I can't wait to hear more." And we have Courtney1000, who wrote, "Just found your podcast. I love it. The stories are amazing. Keep going and can't wait to binge them all." And finally, Wendy Wu from England wrote this. This is an excellent podcast, best one I've heard of this genre for a very, very long time. Thanks for being fabulous. Keep it up. Love the raw audio version. Brilliant. Want more of those 911 calls, please. So thanks to all of you for your kind words, as well as the people who email me or contact me on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook to comment on the show or a particular episode. Please believe me when I tell you it's much appreciated. I really enjoy creating this show for you, and I hope to be doing it for a long time. And speaking of that, I need to get back to work. See you next time.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.